The concept of other was introduced to the congregation 2 weeks ago by our minister, Jennifer Rue. In this case, others were people outside of our comfort zone. She encouraged us to reach out for new experiences and open our hearts to those we consider strangers and may even fear. Today, the others are animals and other living creatures which inhabit our earth. In the complexity inherent to the natural world, the many species of an ecosystem evolved together such that each niche in that small world filled in with different creatures. It is a giant jigsaw puzzle, with man now pulling out the pieces. While our wild species are becoming extinct at an ever-increasing rate, we learn more each day about the communication potential with other species. Each morning, my black dachshund asks for his breakfast. With a meaningful stare, he says, "Mmm," loudly. He encourages further action by walking jauntily back to the bedroom door. He'll return many times if the response is not forthcoming, until it becomes necessary to bark and jump at the bed. This intentional communication from a dog extended even to stares from across the room from my dachshund Bonnie. I called these looks love beams because they seemed like looks from a loved one. There seemed no intent as far as a want or need in them as she slowly wagged her tail. Who among us considers their pets as a family member? Please raise your hand if so. That's a lot of us. What of the other forms of life? My senior project in college was in the field of entomology. That's the study of insects. The research was based on how milkweed bugs use pheromones, special smells, to attract and or repel each other. I added insect watcher to my bird and animal watching pursuits. I find the human revulsion of the world of insects appalling much of the time. The drive to kill all insects and spiders and the indiscriminate use of bug zappers seems incomprehensibly irresponsible and unfair. With this device, I use capture and release if possible. I'm not saying I've never killed insects. I find the world of insects as fascinating as the other animal groups. I want to share a few I've come across near my own house. The toad bug is tiny, but hops about the lake's edge eating insects. The hummingbird moth has iridescent coloration, hovers, and even has a tail. The mole cricket can go backward and forward in the earth, and like the mole, its hair, which is made of chitin, same as its shell, goes backward or forward, unlike that of most animals. Each year, at the same time, at the same laurel bush along the path, I am met with a hoverfly who hovers right in front of my face while I stand motionless. It seems this is a territorial display of flying acumen designed to show the female how well he will stand and defend his territory. The tiger beetle is among the fastest insect for ground speed. The ghost form is typically seen at the beach, although I've seen it in sandy areas around my lake. The green form is found on a sunny spot on a woodland path. This magnificent Luna caterpillar and moth can be seen here in the woodlands, the moth at an outside light. The robber fly is like a fighter jet zooming about. He even features a beard to help hold his prey to his proboscis. The water scorpion is like a cross between a walking stick and a praying mantis. It floats about in the shallows of the lake and attaches to reeds in the water. Watch the rhythm of its swimming. orbiting. So close. Now off again to the other end. An eerie dark silence. Morning breaks. Ethereal mists rising from the lake's surface. The diving duck has been returned a week now, always alone. This morning, there are two. Separated across the cove, they bob up, under, and repeat. Emerging closer, they paddle assiduously toward the cove's center until, only inches apart, they turn to swim side by side out to the big water. When I unexpectedly fell in love, sometime after the breakup of my long marriage, the natural world seemed poignant in reflecting those feelings. Romance bloomed in every flower, colors radiated with a new brilliance, and couples appeared in all forms of life. Nature as house of worship grew out of a youth with parents who loved gardening, trips involving trail walks, and were abundantly curious about all things living and the world in general. My parents are here today. Over, if y'all would just put your hand up for a minute. Walking in the natural world, I sense a powerful feeling that I am in the real world. Yet I feel insignificant, all this life playing out around me. I am the observer in a meditative state. The trick is to become totally aware of the moment, to immerse oneself and look deeply. I spotted my first toad bug floating at the lake's edge on my raft, just gliding and looking. My first red soldier lichen was found as I squatted down to look at a brilliant green stretch of moss. The first live skunk was just seen last week biking along at dusk by a cornfield. These glimpses of other life extend my edges to appreciate otherness. It is joyful and relaxing. It is connecting to a greater community. Raised in any church, I've viewed organized religion with great skepticism. Christian doctrine embraced the notion of God the Creator, but also seemed to relegate other living creatures as the servants of humans. How do we practice right relations with the other life forms? Watching some of the destruction wrought on animals in the name of farming practices or making room for human habitation made me question my own relations with the human race. As I explored many other religions in college, the sentiments of Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and Native Americans resonated most strongly for their regard of other living creatures. Thich Nhat Hanh, who teaches at his Plum Village Buddhist retreat in France, summarizes the Buddhist first precept thusly: aware of the suffering caused by the destruction of life, I am committed to cultivating compassion and learning ways to protect the lives of people, animals, plants, and minerals. I am determined not to kill, not to let others kill, and not to condone any act of killing in the world, in my thinking, and in my way of life. From the Tao Te Ching, the teachings on this topic may be summarized that every creature must be treated with respect, lest we injure the harmony of the Tao in nature. We must never harm or kill unless it is unavoidable. Readings of the Native American stories, such as the adaptation Kim told today, demonstrate the reverence for the wisdom of animals. The numerous ceremonies and rituals associated with the hunt show respect for those animals killed for sustenance. Like the American Indians, the Hindu religion and culture uses different animals and pays them homage for the characteristics admired by humans, For example, the life cycle of the butterfly is held up to explain the importance of meditation, which can lead to a metamorphosis from mortal to enlightened being. The cow is equated with one's mother and allotted particular reverence in the Hindu culture. These idealistic viewpoints are not practiced by the inhabitants of our natural world. The term dog-eat-dog world aptly describes the need to obtain food and procure enough territory on which to live and reproduce. The balance between philosophy and reality with regard to the others is a challenge in formulating one's own practices. I arrived at Williamsburg Unitarian Universalist 9 years ago for the May Day celebration. I was the last of my sisters intrigued by the openness of this faith, which includes the earth-based traditions. With this welcoming ceremony, I opened my own spiritual practices out there in the woodlands with the other to include now a human community. I struggle with several questions in regard to the other in the natural world. Is it enough to just take the time and witness the world of other life? Is it enough to care for my adopted menagerie, to stay intentional about eating, to leave just a small footprint in taking from the living? Should I work for a greater cause to protect the lives of other from the ravages of my own species on Earth? Should I share my world of nature with others more purposefully? As I explore the edges of my comfort zone through various volunteer opportunities this summer, I hope to find some answers. Blessed be.